The sermon, which again, hopefully won't be the long and tedious reproof or lecture. So we're continuing on our series on the church. That's what we've been in for this month of August. And so during this series, we've looked at the church as citizens of heaven. We've looked at the church as people on mission. When we had Joe and Kay Kong here, missionaries to Cambodia. Last week, we looked at the church as the body of Christ. And so today, as we think about Small Group Sunday, we're going to focus on community. And as we do that, we're going to look at the church as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do that by looking at Ephesians chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there or swipe there. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to focus on verses 11 to 22. And as you do that, let me just mention a couple things. You know, temples, as we think about the church as the temple, temples were, you know, very common back in that day in the ancient world. We know about the Jewish temple, the temple in Jerusalem, but, you know, temples were just very common all over the place and actually very common here in the city of Ephesus. Paul is writing the letter of Ephesians to the Christians, the believers in the city of Ephesus. And in Ephesus, it was a very, you know, Ephesus was a very sophisticated, a very wealthy, albeit a very pagan city. But Ephesus was the center of worship of the goddess Artemis. Does anybody know about the goddess Artemis? Artemis was the goddess of what? Does anybody know? Hunting? Well, that's a new one to me. What I've heard about is that maybe that might very well be true. But Artemis was also known, if not just hunting, was also known as the goddess of fertility. And it does beg the question, are we sure that there hasn't been like some Artemis worship going on here at Tyson's? Because, I mean, babies have been being born like left and right. So I just wasn't sure if Artemis somehow snuck in here. No, God asked us to be fruitful and multiply too. So we're actually living out God's blessing in doing that. But Artemis, Ephesus was the center of worship for Artemis, and as such, Artemis had a temple there. And Artemis's temple was known as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And so the people in Ephesus were very familiar with this idea of temple as Paul is talking to them. But what Paul is going to present here in Ephesians about the church being the temple of the Holy Spirit is actually going to be quite radical and quite mind-blowing, especially as we consider and think about this idea of community. And so as we jump in, let me read for us Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm actually going to start with verse 12. He's talking to the Gentile kind of believers here in Ephesians. He says this: "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." So as we think about this idea of the church as the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're going to look at two kind of ideas within this. Two important ideas. And the first one is this: in the church as the temple of the Holy Spirit, dividing walls are broken down. Dividing walls are broken down. We see that in verse 14. He himself is our peace. He's made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So actually, Paul here, I mean, he's talking to a specific group of people, the Gentiles, right? And he's referencing this idea of the Jews and the Gentiles being very divided, being very separated. And now what it looks like for them to not be so through Jesus. And so he's actually not only referencing just Jews and Gentiles, but and talking about a dividing wall. He's not talking about that actually metaphorically. He's also talking about that very literally. He's referencing the Jewish temple in Jerusalem and the physical barrier. We have a picture, Kevin. Yeah. So this is kind of just a picture of the Jerusalem temple. And you can see that wall, right? You can see that barrier. So he's talking about a literal barrier that these folks would know well. There is a physical barrier separating Jews and Gentiles. In fact, Josephus, who is a famous kind of first century Jewish historian, talks about this dividing wall. And he says that on it was an inscription that read this: "No foreigner may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." So this was like serious business. This barrier meant something. And Paul is saying here that in Jesus, dividing walls are broken down. Jesus breaks down this wall by his blood through the cross and brings people together in peace. As we think about that, you know, Paul may be talking about Jews and Gentiles specifically here, but this idea of dividing walls is so relevant for us, isn't it? We humans tend to build walls, whether physical walls, metaphorical walls, intentional walls or unintentional, spoken or unspoken, we build walls to keep certain people out. And these walls can be based on a bunch of different things, right? It can be based on race. It could be based on ethnicity. It could be based on class, religion, politics, education. It can even be based on things like marital status or gender or sexual orientation or mental health. All kinds of things. We build walls. And, you know, this isn't a sermon. It could be, but this isn't a sermon that is focused on the ideas of social justice or, you know, racial reconciliation or politics. But dividing walls, like in our country, in our world, in our culture, are all around us, right? I mean, literally, over the past few years, one of the biggest items of controversy has been a physical wall that people want to build, right? To keep certain people out. It's all around us. And Paul is saying that Jesus wants to break dividing walls down. I wish we could say that this is just like an out there in the world problem, right? It's not. It's not just an out there in the world problem, is it? It happens all too often in the church also. There's division all over the place. Even this idea of denomination sometimes carries with it that idea. Locally, there's, you know, church splits. There's marginalization. It happens all the time in the church, all too often. If the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then this kind of stuff is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. If we think about what it means that the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that means that the Holy Spirit indwells us. Well, if the Holy Spirit is indwelling us with all of the power that entails and all that means, if we see walls keep being built and if we're part of walls keeping, where is the Spirit's power in that? That's opposite. Where is the Spirit's power if we just see walls being built? You know, several years ago, about 10 years ago, we were part of a church plant, and a sad example of this locally where we were There was a guy who we kind of got to know, became a friend of ours. He worked for a local social services agency. His name was Dave, and he was also a local pastor as well, so he was bivocational. And his job with the social services agency was actually to connect the people that they served to local faith communities, to local churches. And so we met with Dave, and Dave said, "Guys, you wouldn't believe how hard it is to find churches that will actually allow us to connect the people that we serve with them." He said, "Those churches just don't want to do it." And that was so sad. And so he asked us, like, "Hey, do you guys want to do this? Like, can we connect some people with you?" And we're like, "That's like a no-brainer. We're the church. Like, that's our mission, to connect with people like that." And so there was one guy. I mean, there were several that we connected with kind of along the way, but there was one guy that connected with our church that just became very special to us. And his name is Herb. I actually have a picture of Herb. Yep, there's Herb. And so that's me and Will when he was a very chubby baby there. And Herb was one of the people that this agency served. And Herb struggled with mental handicap. Herb struggled with severe mental illness, schizophrenia, and things like that. And Herb's life was very messy. But we just embraced Herb. We embraced them as a part of our church community. We embraced them into one of our, we call them house churches, kind of a small group idea. We embraced them there. And he just became a part of us. I spent a lot of time with Herb over those years. In fact, I had to work with the social services agency to help them to think with me about how to create certain boundaries, because, you know, Herb would call me like several times a day. It's just how it was. And in fact, the first time, you know, at one point Herb got a new caseworker, and I met with the caseworker, and the caseworker said, "Oh, so you're actually a real person." Like, they didn't know. Herb kept telling them about this guy, Tracy, who was his pastor or whatever. And so they're like, "Okay, you're a real person." And that's actually, like, that's true. Like, they didn't know. And Herb would tell me about, like, his girlfriend and other people that I never met. And who knows? I don't think that some of them were actually real, you know. But this was the deal. This was what it was like to walk with Herb through life. I spent a lot of days just, like, hanging out with Herb. And I would kind of support him kind of along with the agency, and just I would take him to go grocery shopping. I would take him to various appointments, different things like that. We had him in our home several times. In fact, Jenna reminded me last night as I was telling her I was going to tell the story about Herb. She said, "Oh, tell him about, you know, anytime Jenna would make chili, Herb loved chili. So anytime she would make chili, she would make extra. I'd call Herb up, Herb, Jenna's making chili. You want some chili? Yeah." And Herb loved trains. So this is Herb's, like, he had a huge train set up in his apartment. Herb lived independently, but just needed a lot of support and a lot of help. And so, and Will loved trains. And so, like, we'd go and hang out, and Herb would show us his new, whatever new kind of trains he had and the different setup. But Herb's apartment, I mean, to be honest, you know, Herb, like, struggled with hygiene. Herb's apartment smelled terribly. And so, like, it was really hard to be in there for longer than 10, 15 minutes. It was messy. But Herb became a part of us. And some people were uncomfortable with that for various reasons. Some people just, you know, weren't sure. Okay, like, do we know about Herb? Is it safe? Is it, you know, all these questions, right? But we said, no, it's worth it. And I had the privilege, I mean, like, the humbling privilege of baptizing Herb in a creek with our whole church watching. We can't build walls that are going to keep people like Herb out. Jesus wants to break down those walls. And the church, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, means that those walls are broken down because it's our mission. And to be honest, you know, where there is mission, there is mess, right? Because where there is mission, it means we are actually, like, engaging, connecting, reaching out to people with the love of Jesus, and people are messy. So where there is mission, there is mess, but it's worth it. We must join Jesus in breaking down these walls in order to create the community that he desires. We've got to be ready for this. Like, we, right here, we've got to be ready. We can't even just be ready. We've actually got to be intentional about this. We can't just say, okay, you know, we're ready. If anybody kind of comes our way, and maybe, you know, we'll try to embrace. No, like, we have to be intentional to reach out. We have to be intentional to reach out to these folks. The church as the temple of the Holy Spirit means that dividing walls are broken down. We don't try to keep certain people out. In fact, with Jesus and in Jesus, it is the opposite. Those who are on the margins, he says, those who are far off, those who are on the outside, those who are far off have been brought near. Near to him. Near to the Spirit. Near to the Father, it says in verse 18. Through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. For peace, for reconciliation. And our Christian community should reflect that. And if it doesn't, then we have some serious questions to ask ourselves. So the church, as the Holy Spirit, first of all, means that these dividing walls are broken down. Secondly, the church as the temple of the Holy Spirit means that the temple is no longer about a place. It's no longer about a place, but about a people. God doesn't dwell in a place anymore. He doesn't dwell in a temple anymore. He dwells in a people. And it's not just about a place of worship, but it's about a people of worship who carry the presence of the Lord with them. I actually think that we get that. I mean, we're sitting in a high school, right? And we meet in a hotel in Arlington. We don't have church buildings, so I think we get that. But it's always something for us to continue to be aware of and reflect on. When I was little, I remember sitting in church. I was actually kind of near the front, sitting with a friend of mine, and we were being maybe a little too rowdy and joking around and laughing and different things. And there was an elderly lady sitting in the row right in front of us who didn't appreciate it. And she turned around to us in the middle of the service and said to us, "You're in God's house! You're in God's house!" And so, you know, yes, we probably should have been a little bit more like respectful of the environment and not as distracting and that sort of thing. But isn't that interesting? You're in God's house, right? That's the mindset that a lot of us have. In fact, you know, for 300 years, Christians had no buildings of their own. For 300 years, they didn't have any buildings of their own. So it's not about a place. It's about a people. And it's not only that, it's not just a Sunday thing, right? We don't just have the Spirit indwelling us one day a week. Or maybe even like part of a day a week. Like depending on what we do with the rest of our Sunday, right? You know, some of us, like, we go home, turn on a football game and like get all angry and start yelling and everything. You know, and all of a sudden like it's like, okay, the Spirit is not, you know, I'm not sure where the Spirit went, but. So, you know, it's not just a Sunday thing, or it's not just a part of a Sunday thing. It's every minute of every day. As Jesus breaks down the dividing walls and brings people together, and as the Spirit indwells these people, a couple of things happen. One, a new humanity is created. A new humanity is created as the Spirit indwells this people, the church. It says that in verse 15, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. And so if a new humanity is created, that means something, right? It means that it is actually new. And when it is new, that means that it's not normal. Like it's different. It's not something that people should be familiar with. It's not something that people should even be comfortable with. It should stand out. It should be different. It's new. And something that stands out, something that's different, that's maybe even uncomfortable, necessarily means that it's also going to be counter-cultural. You know, there's somebody here at Tyson's that, and I didn't ask if I could share this, so I won't mention their name, but somebody posted on Facebook this past week, a few days ago, about a decision that they made regarding their work schedule that was very countercultural. They prioritized their work schedule in such a way to allow margin for community, for other things, for whatever the Spirit was leading them in. And I read that and I even responded, amen! You know, like, man, that's exactly right. The church as the temple of the Holy Spirit is a new humanity, and it must be different, and it must be countercultural. Why? Because the presence of God indwells it. The presence of God indwells it. So it's a new humanity that is created. It's not just a new humanity, though. It's also a new family. A new family. Verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. And listen to this. You're members of the household of God. It's a new family. Now, this is something that, like, is going to maybe hit close to home, right? And for me too. So I'm kind of like preaching to myself here. Because family is important to a lot of us. Right? Family is just very important to us. Unfortunately, our view of family is not as full as it should be. Our view of family is not as full as it should be. Again, I'm preaching to myself here, but sometimes family becomes an idol. Sometimes family becomes an excuse not to engage in community. Jesus has other ideas about that. And Jesus' ideas are sometimes, like, they seem a little hard and they seem even a little harsh. But Jesus has other ideas about family. And one of those teachings is in Mark chapter 3, verse 31. It's where Jesus, his mother and brothers came. And they were standing outside. And they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him. And they said to him, your mother and your brothers, they're outside. They're seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. It's a new family. It's a different idea. It's a more full understanding of what it means to be family. And our Christian community, as Jesus teaches here, our Christian community now is our family. We need to reflect that. We need to love each other as such. The church as the temple of the Holy Spirit means that the temple is no longer about a place, but about a people. A people who carry the presence of God with them in community. A people out of which a new humanity is created that is countercultural. And it's a new family. And so as we close, I want us to reflect and to pray, and it may even require some confession or repentance on our part as we consider some hopefully penetrating questions for us today. And so I just invite you to close your eyes and just reflect on these prayerfully. Again, it may require some confession and repentance on our part. Here are the questions I want us to consider. Firstly, what dividing walls exist here at GCCC? What boundaries have we put up? What barriers have we put up to keep certain people out, intentionally, unintentionally? Who are we keeping out? Who are we marginalizing? Reflect on that for a moment. not just that, that here kind of as a church, Great Commission Community Church, but what about personally then in our own hearts, in your own heart? What are the dividing walls that you have put up? Who are the people that you are not willing to engage, that you're trying to keep kind of set apart from, that you're trying to kind of keep out of your life or marginalize from your own life? And if the Spirit is revealing, is convicting you this morning of those things, then I just invite you to right now repent, to right now confess before Him. And invite Jesus to break down those walls. Invite Jesus to break down those walls here at GCCC. Invite Jesus to break down those walls in your own heart. But it's more than just inviting Jesus to break down those walls. It's actually thinking about intentionally, in what ways are you going to join Jesus in breaking down those walls this year? What is that going to look like? What is that going to look like here in our church? What is that going to look like in your small group? In what ways are you going to join Jesus in breaking down those walls? And in what ways are you going to be countercultural this year as you enter into community here? What is the Spirit saying to you about that? What are some of the decisions you need to make that will be different? What are some of the priorities that you need to shift? A new humanity. Not only that, but in what ways are you going to function as a family, as a new family in Christian community this year? What is it going to look like for you to open up your eyes, broaden your perspective and understanding in a more full way of what it means to be a family? How is the Holy Spirit prompting you this morning? You know, the job of a pastor or a shepherd is to help people to pay attention to God and to respond appropriately. And that's my desire for us this morning. As we reflect, as we pray, that we would be able to pay attention, and that we would not only be able to pay attention and hear what He's saying, but that we'd be able to respond. God, I ask you to continue to do a deep work within us. You indwell us. We are your temple now. You don't dwell in a place, you dwell in a people, and that people is us. Wow, so humbling, God, that you would choose to do that. That we are being built together into this temple. God, that the dividing walls are broken down through Jesus. That we are new. We are a new humanity. And we are a new family in you. We are your people. We are your temple. Your presence is within us. We carry it with us. God, would you show us what that looks like? Would you equip us? Would you anoint us by your Spirit who indwells us? With power this year to be able to enter into community together, enter into small groups together in a way that is different, in a way that is impactful, in a way that is life-changing, and that other people would be able to experience that as well, that they would be able to connect and find the same transformation. Thank you for the work that you are doing in us, God.